This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. It has been 1 year since Michigan enacted the plan for legalizing sale and use of cannabis for recreational purposes following the voters' directive. It appears that Michiganders have seized on the chance to take the edge off one of the more hellacious years in living memory. Sales of recreational cannabis are closing in on $500 million. Dustin Walsh, senior reporter at Crain's Detroit, has had an eye on this sector, and he joins us now. Dustin, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you.
So when you think back on this first year of legalized recreational sales in Michigan, what are your initial thoughts?
Well, I think in the beginning, you know, it was always a question of whether the regulated market competes with the kind of illicit market, the illegal market, black market, whatever you'd like to call it. And it was pretty evident early on that it could. And then, you know, early on, you know, COVID hit in March, and that was always sort of a question mark of you know, discretionary spending. But with the stimulus dollars and gratuitous unemployment at the time, you know, it never slowed down and just kept growing and growing and growing. Every single month of sales in adult use has been bigger than the month before over the past year. So I think just how relentless the market has been sort of the surprise of it all.
And the state did make that decision to deem cannabis essential during this time. In hindsight, do you think that was a good move?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're looking at it from a sales standpoint, the marijuana businesses were able to adapt really quickly. And that clearly kept sales up. Obviously, if they had shut them down, sales would have gone nowhere. And I think from a regulatory standpoint, what you're looking at is you would have pushed people that are users of the drug right back into the illicit market. So I think it is a smart move to keep the stores open and to keep people, you know, doing what's easiest. You know, people want to do the easiest thing, and the easiest thing is to go to your local shop and buy marijuana.
I mean, one of the things that just feels so striking about this was not just that sales were big, but sales were big from the get-go. In the very first week, Michiganders bought $5.7 million worth of product. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this?
Well, I mean, no, I haven't covered any industries that just kind of cropped up out of nowhere, right? you know, this is the first one that that I've been able to see from its infancy. So no, I haven't seen anything like this, and it's been really eye opening. I think when you really look at it, you know, you weren't sure what sort of businesses were really going to come out of this, and whether it was going to be full of basically a bunch of really poor businessmen trying to, you know, that love cannabis and trying to operate businesses. And I think what we've learned is there is some of that, of course. But I think what we've learned is it's they're really sophisticated business people running really sophisticated businesses that just happen to sell marijuana.
Do you think the sales have hit peak yet?
No, not even close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, you know, upwards of 120 to 160 current shops open. You know, only 84 municipalities are even opted in to allow adult recreational use. So, you know, there's a long runway. You know, people are still driving from a long distances if they don't have a shop near them to access the legal market if they choose to. So I think when you really see the market come on board more, you know, I think hitting $1 billion even next year might be a reality.
To that end, Dustin, can we talk for just a minute about Detroit's particular situation?
Sure.
The city made a slow start with a stated intention of opening up opportunities for vendors who are people of color. And council has just within the past 9 days passed a plan for who gets to apply for a license and the terms under which those new businesses will operate. Is that one of the things you're talking about? Like, what would you expect to happen once more shops get opened in Detroit?
Right. I mean, obviously, Detroit's the big market, right? The big money market that everyone wanted access to. It's a very strong medical marijuana market. And so all those medical marijuana shops were really looking forward to being able to be both, play in both areas. And they were not able to for a considerable amount of time. So yeah, having Detroit open is definitely going to benefit the overall industry. You know, the side of it that has been, you know, trying to, you know, people that have been impacted, people of color that have been impacted by drug laws, that has never really been solved, and they're really trying to get that in place. You know, if you talk to the executive director of the Michigan Regulatory Agency, you know, they will admit that they've sort of failed in that area. I don't remember the exact numbers, but they had quite a few people apply through their program, and they were only able to bring 8 of them to actual licensure. You know, so that's not a good number. And that's not a good thing. So we'll see what Detroit can do. But really that's the real big piece of the puzzle that needs to be solved. And I think once that's solved, you will definitely see an increase in sales and you'll see an increase in everything else. But big business marijuana is still going to get stronger and stronger. And so it'll be tough in the long haul, in my opinion, for the smaller players, no matter what.
We've talked to retailers who are people of color who say that access to capital is still a really huge issue since cannabis is still not something that the federal government recognizes as part of, you know, part of trade in the traditional sense. Do you think that Detroit is in a position to find any new gears on helping people get past that barrier?
Yes and no. I mean, that doesn't matter what the business is. Access to capital for people of color and small businesses has always been a problem. It's been a problem for as long as people have been starting businesses. No one seems to have that solution quite at hand. I do think because of the focus on Detroit, and particularly you've seen a lot of big banks throw a lot of money and a little more access into the city of Detroit in the last 5 years. So I think that will definitely move the needle. I also think Detroit has a lot of opportunity with you know, in particular, Black-owned banks. Once that market kind of opens up and they're allowed to play in that space, I think that'll also move the needle. I think there's a definite need for that. So I really do think you're going to see that blossom, but it is going to take time. And in opening up that market is always going to be difficult because so much of what's out there now are people that have lots of money. And historically, that hasn't been for people of color when it comes to starting small businesses, is having access to that. So opening that up is going to be tricky, but I do believe Detroit is primed for that to happen in the long run.
Sure. Dustin, there are some states that legalized cannabis for recreational use that just experienced massive flooding in the market when sales became legal. Why didn't that happen here?
Yeah, so it's an interesting question. Yes, and you're talking of Oregon specifically, California as well. At one point, I believe Oregon had enough growth of marijuana that it was four times what they could sell, which meant that basically it was leaving the state illegally. Michigan was a much slower rollout. You know, it took some time, and there's some benefits to that. You know, the slow rollout kind of makes everyone a little antsy. But because the licensure was slow and because the capital requirements were sort of high, it made everything move a little slower and it didn't flood the market. I think there is going to be a point, probably in the next year or two, probably closer to 2 years, where you are going to see the kind of saturation of the market. And that's when, you'll see consolidation, you'll see other things. So it's really important for kind of people to get on the entry floor now. But you are going to see, more and more product hit the market. And lower prices. And we will see a little bit of what's gone on in other states, but certainly not to that degree. When you talk to people within the industry, they're actually quite complimentary of our regulatory system here, that it was so methodical and that it was so slow, and really didn't hit all the pitfalls that other states hit.
Just one last question, Dustin. There was a lot of concern early on about who was really going to benefit from this. Was it going to be Michiganders, with local businesses, or would out-of-state money end up getting most of the business? What's the statewide picture on that right now?
So right now, it's sort of a mix. So obviously, you are seeing out-of-state money kind of flowing in the way that it has to operate because of it's illegal federally. So they have to kind of, route their money here and be based here. So you'll see that change as more states come online, in particular if it becomes legal federally. But right now you've got sort of this, everyone can kind of play in the space, right? You've got really, really high-end product that sells for a ridiculous amount of money and people are trying things out. And you've got other companies that are smaller. I talked to one company where they're coming out with a product called Good Nuff. which is sort of a play on words, but the whole idea is they want to be the Miller High Life of marijuana, to where it's just like a utility beer, but utility weed for people that partake.
Lawnmower weed?
There you go, lawnmower weed. That's exactly right. And so that's sort of the space that we're hitting. And so, the reality is you have to have money to play in the space, though, still. You can't just set up a fruit stand on the corner and sell marijuana. There's a lot more to it. You have to have money to enter that market. So it's still, toward the high end. But I do think as this goes on, the bigger ones are going to consolidate. And so that'll be kind of whether we have a fraction of really big and really small kind of operations is going to be what we look for in the future, I think.
Dustin Walsh, senior reporter for Cranes Detroit. Dustin, thanks so much.
Thank you, April.